Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hansen. So what if it was possible to take what you're learning in the gym or through working out and apply that to other areas of your life? If that sounds interesting, then keep listening because we'll help you level up your life with our guest, Carl Berryman. So Carl is a personal trainer who helps men take what works inside the gym and apply it outside the gym to strengthen every area of their life. But before we begin, please subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And let's go ahead and get started today. Hey, Carl, thanks for hopping on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I'm really looking forward to our second conversation here. So this will be good.
Yeah. So just for the audience, our first conversation, it was on your podcast, right? And I think that was went really well. And I'm glad to have you on my podcast as well to talk about this topic. So let's just dive right into the topic and kind of get started here. So we look at, I think a lot of people, especially trainers, we talk about how you can take what you're doing in your life and apply it to fitness, right? To accomplish some sort of goal. But I'm really interested to kind of flip that on its head and talk to you about how you can take what you're learning in the gym or through working out and apply it to other areas of your life. So let's start there. What does that look like? How did you come to this realization that you can take what you're learning inside the gym or through fitness and apply it to other areas of your life?
Super long story short, December 4th, 2020, looked in the mirror, decided that, you know what, my body really needs a transformation now. I was in good shape, really good shape, but I wasn't playing at the level that I wanted to. And then for some reason I asked myself, where else in my life do I need to get into better shape? And the answer was everywhere. And yeah. So that was my rock bottom moment. My partner currently right now, Jenny Lee, we've been together for 9 years, but at that time we took a 3-month separation because our relationship was just lacking passion, excitement, intimacy, communication, all those things. And so really long story short, I just developed a training split for my entire life. So just like right now, I'm on a 4-day split for strength. I know what exercises I'm doing when I go to the gym. I know how many reps. I'm tracking my workouts. There's also the nutrition component, which anybody knows is the worst part of it. but there was the training and nutrition part of it, of the training split. And so I just started doing that for every area of my life. And all of a sudden things started to turn around very, very quickly. And while I still have my days where I quote unquote cheat on my nutrition when it comes to outside the gym and when I don't get in my training sessions, for the most part, things have stuck around really, really well. So yeah, that's pretty much how that goes.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said, which I think was really, really interesting. So you mentioned how you were in really good physical shape, but you still felt like you were lacking other areas of your life. What was your original goal when you started training? Was it just for aesthetics, or did you think that it was going to have a huge impact on your life? I'm just trying to figure out how you're very physically fit, but you still weren't satisfied in other areas of your life.
That's a really good question. For me, it started off as aesthetics because like I've been a trainer now for about 12 years and I've been training for a couple decades now. And so I was always the hard gainer little guy. So it was always to get jacked and be huge and all that stuff, right? And somewhere in my 30s, I decided, you know what? I'm never going to be 220 pounds unless I start juicing, which I'm never going to do.
And I want to point out, though, that that's a really common goal for a lot of men, right? They want to be jacked, huge, big muscles, right? That's a very common goal.
Absolutely. But then I realized for me, like, putting on weight was a weakness of mine. So why not focus on the strengths? Like I can shred up pretty easily, which is something a lot of other guys would like to do. So I just focused on maintaining or keeping around the body weight I was at, but shredding it up and making my muscles look bigger as a result of that. And so that's what I did from an aesthetic standpoint. But also for me, the older I get, like I'm 43 right now, the older I get, the more I'm realizing just how important it is, not just to have overall health, but muscle specifically. Like you look down the road, a lot of the things and a lot of the issues we're going to have when we're in our 70s or 80s are related to that huge decrease in muscle that starts to happen after your 40s. I'm like, I don't want any of that. So I'm really, really focusing on the quality of my life right now, which means I need to focus on the quality of my muscle because it turns out there's a direct correlation there for sure.
Right. I think that's amazing, right? So you started with the goal of aesthetics, which I think, again, I think for a lot of men is very common. We want to look a certain way, but then that goal changed over time, which I think a lot of people struggle with, right? So did that take a long time for that change to happen, or was it a pretty short turnaround time frame?
That was a yo-yo type of change. I would try to put on weight. I'd gain a little bit, hit a plateau and say, no, I want to see my six pack. So that I've been that for 15 years. And finally, Philip convinced me to start putting on some more muscle. So, I'm in that phase now because I realize how important that is. But in terms of transitioning from aesthetics to something that is more value centered for me, that took a really long time, A lot of it's just a matter of leaving your ego at the door, swallowing your pride.
Doing
what you know is going to be good for you in the long term, which is really challenging, but one day at a time.
Yeah. And it sounds like that was a very long process. And I like how you mentioned about values. So I think knowing your values is really important.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when it came to your values changing, so you mentioned that you're very physically fit, but outside of fitness, what other values changed for you in your life?
Oh, the biggest one was for so long, I've always been an entrepreneurial minded guy, like ever since my early 20s. And so I would see all these get rich quick things that back in the day seemed like, okay, you can start making six figures in 30 days. It was, it was no different than a weight loss thing, right?
Right.
So I was all about that stuff. But the reason I really wanted to do that is I kept telling myself, okay, well, I want to be able to do things for my family. I want to be able to do things for my partner. I want to be able to do these amazing things and create amazing memories with my friends.
Right.
And so I would just focus on my business, focus on my business, focus on my business. And it got to the point where Jenny Lee told me after we got back together, because I had made a point of starting to prioritize my relationships. Because before it was, you know what? I've got work to do and I cancel plans all the time. All the time so that I can do my work so that I could end up spending time with my friends, which is ridiculous when you look at it in retrospect. Like I'm doing all this work so I can spend more time with my friends and yet I'm canceling on my friends right now so that I can do more work. It just didn't make any sense. And she said something that really, really hurt, but I needed to hear. She said, after I'd started prioritizing relationships, she said, Carl, I was really worried you were going to be very successful, but all alone.
Oh,
my. And that's powerful. It really stung. And so ever since then, I've been prioritizing relationships. And I've realized for me, because I follow something called the prep work, which is just purpose, health and fitness, relationship, health and fitness, emotional health and fitness, and physical health and fitness. And so before I used to think, okay, well, purpose, health and fitness would be it for me because my business goes, everything else would go.
Right.
That didn't work. I thought, okay, well, emotional health and fitness because I've suffered with depression and anxiety and panic attacks and all that. And I figured, okay, well, if I get my emotions in check, then I'll be good. That makes sense. That seems like that would be the lead domino. But then that wasn't working either. And I realized it was because I had put relationships so far down on the totem pole. And as soon as I bumped that up to the top, like getting together with my friends every single week, connecting with them on a more intimate basis, joining men's coaching programs, putting Jenny Lee number one on the list, but then also, actually, she's always going to be number two and she's cool with this because I always put myself first. I always make sure I'm taking care of myself first so that I can take care of everybody else. So it was the whole relationship thing that really changed the game. And that's why I started training for that specifically more than anything else.
Yeah. And again, I think it sounds like your priorities change and your values change. And I think that happens to a lot of people, right? I think that natural part of life as you things change. But I want to go back to talking about how you used what you knew about fitness and training. So you have a lot of experience training to improve other areas of life. And you mentioned a couple of things about how you had your training splits and you documenting all your programs. Mm-hmm. When I hear that, I think, okay, you're doing that for other areas of your life, like relationships or friendships. Is that what you meant by that?
That's exactly what I meant by that.
Yeah. So do you want to go in a little more detail what you exactly did in terms of utilizing that fitness experience or other areas of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it was all about figuring, okay, for me, if I'm being consistent in the gym and I'm seeing progress, it's typically because I like what I'm doing. Like there's certain exercises that I don't enjoy and I keep telling myself I'm going to do them. Like say, for example, cardio, like going on the treadmill, you're not going to catch me on there for longer than like 7.5 minutes if I'm doing HIIT.
Right.
Like, much like you, right?
Yep.
So I'm not a fan of that stuff.
Yep.
So I had to figure out what not only I liked, but what worked. So when it came to Jenny Lee, I just really started keeping track of the times when she would go out of her way to comment on things that I did that made her feel good. And I did this over a course of a couple of years. So I started compiling my primary exercise list for Jenny Lee. So just like right now, I've got, I know rack pulls are better than deads for me.
Yeah.
Bench press, I've got my list of exercises that are my go-tos so that if something doesn't work, I've got something I can switch in. So I have that with Jenny Lee and I started tracking it. And I noticed as soon as I started tracking it, she started commenting on the fact that I'm doing it more. So I'm like, yeah, she doesn't know that I'm writing this stuff down and making it intentional. Yeah. She does now. And it's interesting too, because I found out, speaking of splits, I have a 4-day, what I call training split with Jenny Lee, where there's 4 specific workouts that we, quote unquote, workouts that we have.
Okay.
And one of them we call Tune-Up Tuesdays. So that was yesterday. And what we do is we generally sit down and listen to a podcast together on relationships and we'll pause and talk about it. So yesterday we were listening to a podcast on gender roles and that led to an amazing conversation. But inside of that podcast, he talked about how it's important to set up those gender roles, but then track them as well. And then I found out Jenny Lee is also tracking things that she does inside of a relationship that I didn't know about. When I asked her why, her reason was fascinating, because one of the reasons we separated back in 2020 was because we had become roommates. We were a couple just really existing together. And she said, I'm tracking because I want to make sure I'm doing the things so that we don't go back to being roommates.
Yeah.
And so now that I know both of us are doing it, it's like, hey, this is good. This is good.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think that's more common than people want to admit or realize, that situation where you just end up as roommates. And I love how you use fitness terms, right? You said training splits and tracking, and that's something that a lot of people already do with their fitness or nutrition. And you're just utilizing those same tools that work, that we know work in fitness, in your relationship. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
And, but I do want to go back to, so you have your training splits with Jenny. Obviously, consistency and discipline are really important with fitness. Did you find that to be the case as well with what you're doing with your relationships or your partner? Was that a hard transition to make, or was it a pretty easy transition?
It's even harder. It's even harder because at the gym, like, if I don't know what I'm doing for my exercises, how many free programs are there out there that I could check out? Okay, Paul, I'm having problems with my back squat right now. Can you show me how to do the back squat properly or something like that? So I can go get tips, right?
Right.
When it comes to getting tips on developing a training program for relationships, there's a lot of stuff out there that I just didn't really resonate with at all. And it didn't work. So it was a ton of trial and error. And not only that, if you point out something I'm doing wrong with my squat, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm making an error. It's not really attached to my ego. Whereas if I do something wrong in the relationship and Jenny Lee therefore responds and lets me know that what I said or did wasn't right, that's stepping on a landmine, right? And that's
it hurts, absolutely.
And it's hard to swallow your ego, especially when it comes to communication, because men and women communicate so differently. So learning to speak her language and communicate in a way that is more along the lines of how she would understand and interpret things, it's a never-ending process and it's still ongoing. I still 100% make a ton of mistakes today. I just, most of the time, I catch them before I let them happen.
Right.
Or if they do happen, I'm able to like turn it around right away because of just getting in the reps, right? So yeah, that was a great question.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So again, you mentioned a couple of fitness terms where you talk about reps, right? And you talk about, you just talked about how, you know, you still make mistakes, but you learn from those, or you catch yourself doing it and you can self-correct. Similar thing to people in the gym, right? They kind of correct themselves in the gym by watching themselves in the mirror. They do reps and with the repetitions. So when it came time to actually start implementing this and get your reps in and, you know, you got your training program for your relationships, how was the response from Jenny? Was it like immediate, or did it take some time for that to kind of sink in and things to kind of take their course?
It was both. It depended on what it was, because some of them were like, it's like when you go into the gym, if I was smart, And I knew, like, if I'm going to the gym and I'm trying a new exercise, I'm not going to look at what the strongest guy in the gym has on the bar and try to do that.
I'm
going to put on something that I know is going to be super manageable, and then just feel that out and use progressive overload there. So when I used progressive overload in the relationship, it was good because I would always start off small. But then there were times definitely where it's like, oh, this is a really good idea. I'm going to try this. And then I'd go to do it. And it's like, hey, you put too much weight on the bar there, Cara. And it backfired hard. So it was both. Some things went surprisingly well, and then things went surprisingly and horribly wrong. So it was just, it was trial and error like crazy. And it still is.
Yeah. And I think, again, like trial and error, that's something that we do in the gym. And this conversation has been really enlightening for me, because it's kind of like a mindset shift, right? Of I know you and I are both trainers, and we've been training for a while, and we have a lot of fitness experience. So we have all that knowledge. But for me, it's definitely been an interesting conversation to kind of shift my mindset of, wow, I have all these tools that I've been doing for a while in fitness that I can also apply to other areas of my life. A lot of times it's the other way around. So it's been a fantastic conversation. But I want to go back to something you said about help or finding advice for relationships or for anything outside of the gym. So I agree with you. There's a lot of different things out there that you can do. What sort of resources have helped you as you kind of implemented these things in your life, these training principles in your life?
Two things for sure. Number two on the list, and this is a huge one that I can't believe I didn't think of sooner. When you're looking to transform your physique, whether you want to lose weight or put on weight, right? You want to be focusing not just on your workouts, but also on the calories you're consuming.
Right.
But not just any calories, the quality of those calories.
Exactly.
So for me, I was like, okay, well, what kind of calories am I consuming for my relationship? And that sounds ridiculous, but for me, the calories, the equivalent of a calorie inside a relationship is the content you're consuming. So it's like, okay, Carl, how much time were you spending listening to podcasts that would help you communicate better? Well, I wasn't. How many books did I read on intimacy or understanding your partner? I didn't. I was just consuming regular TV all the time. And I still consume regular TV, of course. But I wasn't taking in any quality calories. So was it any wonder why my relationship was dying from the inside out when I wasn't feeding myself the stuff I needed to for my relationship? Right. And as soon as I figured that out, I'm like, man, so now every single, it's Tuesdays are my relationship day, where I've got a couple books that I read multiple times, but my journaling experience, what I do is I come up with one small specific action based on what I read in that book. So I'm not just reading the book for the sake of reading the book. It's like, okay, how can I put this into action?
Right.
So that I would say was number two, but what kicked it off was joining a men's coaching program.
Okay.
That was number one, realizing that all the things that, cause I would really get mad at myself and shame myself and feel so disappointed in myself for making all the mistakes I made.
Right.
But as soon as I found out that I wasn't the only one, and that even more so, it's just like in the gym when you think you're the only one who has trouble losing weight, or you're the only one who can't make this transformation, but then you find somebody who was in your shoes and yet made that transformation. I found men who had been in my shoes from a relationship standpoint, what they did to get out of there. And even though not all of their things worked, some of them did. And at least it gave me that hope to look down the road to say, yeah, okay, this change is possible. Cause had you asked me in 2020, like early 2021, if JL and I were going to get back together, I would have said, there's no way, because there's just too much damage here. I don't see how we can get back to being together again, but it worked.
Yeah. I think that there's power in a group, right? And that's, I like how you use this, another great analogy with fitness about how finding a community, and that's why a lot of, you know, group fitness classes are so popular. Weight Watchers are so popular, because they foster that community of, hey, you're not alone. There are other people who are going the same thing that you are, struggling, same things that you are, you know, you're not the only one that's struggling to lose weight. I love how it's the exact same principle with, with what you just described with the men's group. And I think that's fantastic. But really quickly, what I want to go back to those training splits that you have with Jenny. So you mentioned one of them on Tuesdays, but what are some other things that you guys do, those other training splits for the listeners out there that they can kind of do with their own relationships?
Okay, one of these, she's pretty open. I don't think she'll get mad at me for saying that.
Whatever you want to share.
The way that I look at it, we've got a 4-day split. So we've got tune-up Tuesdays. We've got date night Thursdays. So that's just where we we take turns planning what date night's going to be.
Ah, fun. Okay.
Which is nice, okay, because then not all the pressure's on me or not all the pressure's right on her. So we take turns, and it's always a lot of fun and it's always a surprise. So yeah, that's really good. Then we have Friday happy hours, and Friday nights is just lazy nights. So it typically involves the couch, pizza, and binging on like Hell's Kitchen or something like that. Like it's just, we call it No Dish Friday because we just, we don't do the dishes. We totally, and it's just chill, no worries whatsoever. And then the biggest one for me is the fourth of the 4-day split is Saturday snugs is what we call it. So Saturday morning is our cuddle time. Okay. And the reason why I would put that one at the top of the list is because I have always had a lot of anxiety when it comes to intimacy as I get deeper into a relationship.
Okay.
I get scared around intimacy. So having these Saturday sessions where we're just cuddling and we're chatting and a whole bunch of other stuff does go on, but those open up the doors to us having such amazing, expansive conversations.
Yeah.
And I think even on top of Tune Up Tuesdays, those are the ones where the most connection and growth happens because we really get vulnerable with each other.
Yep.
And just like in the gym, like one of the things I love about the gym is whether people realize this or not, the moment you walk in the gym and start to work out, you're being super vulnerable because you're putting everything on display, how you look, how you perform, your strength, everything, which takes a lot of courage. So I think people need to commend themselves more for that. But same thing inside the bedroom. Like you're like, there's very few places in our lives where it'll be more vulnerable than that.
Right.
So it's a good opportunity for growth for couples for sure.
Yeah. And I love that. What you said about the gym and being, just being walking in the gym and being vulnerable. You think everyone's looking at you or and analyzing what you're doing or how much weight you're lifting. At least I do. I know it's not rational, but you know, I agree with you. There is, everyone should be committed if they can go to the gym.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think I love your training splits or with the relationship splits or however you want to call them, because that's the exact same thing you're supposed to be, everyone's supposed to be doing with their training program, right? Just have a schedule that they follow and be consistent with it.
Right.
But as you know, things come up, right? Like there are times when you're not able to go to the gym and work out and for whatever reason, right? And so when that happens with your, with Jenny and these splits that you guys have together with these four events, what happens when something comes up and you guys can't do it? Or have you guys been able to just do it 100%, no missed days?
No, 100%, we do not do it 100%. Say, for example, this week, tomorrow night would typically be our date night, but I've got two brothers, like legit brothers, that I see probably two or three times a year, and we're going to a Winnipeg Jets hockey game tomorrow night. So she knows, okay, well, we don't have date night Thursday. And then Friday night, I'm getting together with a couple other friends of mine, so we won't have happy hour. So it's like, okay, so this week we've got Tuesday and we're going to have Saturday. So we'll get in 2 days this week. But we both kind of enjoy that because she is very open about this and I don't take offense to it at all. She's like, you know what, Carl, this is going to be awesome because now I'm going to get to go out with my girlfriends and then I'm going to have a night to myself as well. Because just like, this is the other really important part, just like in the gym where you can't go to the gym 7 days a week. You can't. Like you stress your body, but you need that recovery time.
Yes.
Couples need that recovery time. You need the time where you're just on your own. Your partner's not bugging you, you're not bugging her, and you've got your own time. So you need those days to yourself to recover.
Right.
So that was another huge thing that we implemented to make sure it's like, okay, well, just because we're home together doesn't mean we have to be together.
Right.
So we have those days off as well.
That's fantastic, because if you said that, we don't miss any days, I said, I don't know, Carl.
Oh, no, no.
Kind of itchy. But that happens, right? In life, that happens where you're going to miss days in the gym. All right, and with your relationship check-ins, but it sounds like that's okay, right? Like it happens. It's okay. You catch back up the next week or the next day.
Exactly.
End of the world. But I think some people feel like they got to be so rigid with what they're doing, and there's no flexibility, and they either get burnt out, or if you're doing with other people, and they're not going to like that. So I think it's fantastic how you guys have that flexibility in your life, so that way you know, hey, it's okay if we miss this one thing. We'll catch back up or we'll go do our own thing.
Exactly. As long as it's the anomaly and not the new rule, then we're good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic way to wrap things up. Before we go, I wanted to ask about your Brotherhood Bootcamp training manual. So what is that? And how can that benefit men?
I've got a physical copy of it as well, and a digital copy too online that they can find out when they go to my Instagram. But essentially what it is the training split done in a journal format. I've got the prep work. So that's purpose, health and fitness, relationship, health and fitness, emotional health and fitness, and physical health and fitness. Mm-hmm. So for me, what changed the game for me was building my self-awareness. If anybody wants to improve their relationship, it all starts with self-awareness. Just like said on my podcast, that three stages you went through, it's like if there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with us, there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. As soon as you get to the me point, you realize you are the focal point in all your relationships and you start working on you, then you're good to go. So literally this is the way I go. On Mondays, I tackle purpose, health and fitness. It's a 10-minute journaling experience that leads you to one action you take in the next 24 hours in order to improve in that area. Tuesdays is relationships, Wednesdays is emotional, and then Thursdays is physical health and fitness. And you're just journaling to make sure that you are taking steps towards the person you say you want to be, in this case, man, because I did the journal for men. Just becoming the man you want to be, not just for yourself, but for your partner, for your friends, for your business, for your community, whatever is important to you and whatever you value. So it's literally a workout program in a manual format you're just working on self-awareness.
Yeah. I think what I love about that, it's very structured, right? So same thing that you would do with your workout routine in the gym, you're just applying that same concept with your life. And what's great about what you have is that you break it down for everybody, right? So they don't have to go guess about, okay, what should I be doing? This right there, these documents, right? I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
But Carl, thanks for coming on the show. It was a great discussion and I got a lot out of it. I'm sure the listeners got a lot out of it as well. Any last minute comments you want to make for the audience before we wrap things up?
I think the thing that I would say is just get around, for men out there, get around other men that are going to inspire you to be a better man. Like say when I had you on the podcast, you have no idea how many times I've used that line, that level 1, 2, 3, in terms of maybe it's them, or sorry, they're wrong, we're wrong, I'm wrong. And I've referenced so many things from that podcast, and just having that conversation with you expanded my awareness of how I can be better. So literally just, we men are not really good at talking about stuff that really matters at all. But you and I had that conversation and we didn't go super deep or anything like that, but we got into stuff that men don't normally talk about. So when you start having those conversations more with other men who I'm willing to bet want and need to have those conversations as well, that would be step number one. Get around other men, just like in the gym, lift with a guy who's stronger with you than you, you're going to get stronger. Same thing here. Yeah.
And I'll add on to that. Same thing with gym and the working out. It's a skill, right? It's something that you have to do and you'll get better at it, but you have to kind of develop it over time. And you can't just wake up one day and go, all right, I'm gonna be amazing at relationships. No, you gotta put some work into it, and it takes time. Yeah. It's like, you know, working out and fitness.
But and it never ends. It never ends. Like when do you go to the gym, look in the mirror, and say, "Oh, I'm good, I'm done." It doesn't happen.
Right, a lifelong process. But I think that's a fantastic way to wrap things up. And Carl, again, thank you for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. I know the audience really appreciates it as well.
Thank you, my man. This has been another awesome conversation.
So that wraps up today's episode, and thank you very much for listening. And make sure to check out Carl on the social media links in the podcast notes. And if you're on this show, do me a huge favor and leave a review if you enjoyed listening. And until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.